joy, unspeakable joy. As we think of this topic this morning, and as we think of the tale of two kings, we're reminded of Charles Dickens as he wrote in The Tale of Two Cities, it was the best of times and it was the worst of times. As we think of the two kings, the tale of the two kings, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. Let's pray together this morning. Father, we thank you for the privilege again to gather together to worship you. And Father, I pray that as we spend this time in your word, I just pray that you might speak to our hearts, that you might challenge our hearts, that as we saw in this video, that we might put away those things, that we might surrender to you those things that hinder us from truly experiencing the joy of our salvation. And Father, we thank you for the grace that you've shown us through your Son. And it's in his great name we pray. Amen. If you would turn in your Bibles this morning, we are going to be looking at the tale of two kings. In the Christmas story, we have been looking at a number of individuals. We first looked at Joseph. We then looked at the Holy Family. This morning, we're going to look at the two kings. And then next week, we're going to look at the Magi. All of those individuals had a part and were present at the birth of Jesus Christ. And so as we look at this passage of Scripture this morning, and we're going to look at several, but as we look at this passage of Scripture this morning, I pray that it might not be one of those passages that we say, yeah, we've heard that 100 times. We have a pretty good knowledge of what this passage is talking about, and we shut down. But let's look at, start with Matthew chapter 2, and we'll be looking at the first 9 verses here. As we look at King Herod, he is the first king that we encounter. And now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who is born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired from them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler, and he will shepherd my people Israel.' And Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently, and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him.' And after listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was." Let's move down to verses 16 through 18. "And Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and he killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all the region who were 2 years old and under, according to the time that he ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. And she refused to be comforted because they were no more." So the first king that we are going to encounter this morning is King Herod. And let me give you a little bit of background on King Herod. He was called Herod the Great. He started to rule in about 40 BC. He was given the territory. He was crowned King of the Jews by Rome. And he was known for how awful he was. He was a tyrant. He was an individual who would just as soon take off your head than he would be to shake your hand. And what we know about Herod is that he was married 10 times. He had 10 wives. His first wife we really don't know a lot about, but his second wife he had killed after he had killed her parents because they had said something about him. And then he thought that she was undermining his rule because she tended to be a little bit vocal. And so he had her assassinated and murdered. And then the 2 sons that he had by her, he thought that they were going to take over the kingdom. And so he had those 2 sons executed also. So Herod was one of those individuals that you didn't want to get on the wrong side. And Herod ruled in Jerusalem for 40 years. And so as we see Herod, we understand that he was very fearful of his throne. One of the things that Herod did was that he was a builder, and he built many fortresses. If you remember, Masada was one of his fortresses that he built on top of a mountain, a place where you couldn't get to. There was only one way up this mountain, and it was a fortified city. The last stand of the zealots of the Jews were there in Masada as the Romans were taking over the country. And we remember that group of individuals that were there on the top of Masada and committed suicide before the Romans could come and take them captive. But that was one of Herod's places that he could go if there was going to be a revolt against his kingdom. One of his other building projects was that of the temple, the second temple. And within a year and a half, he had the temple built, and it was a glorious temple. He wanted that temple to be a place in Jerusalem where people would come and they would recognize the glory of this area. And so Herod had that temple built, had 1,000 priests as masons to build that temple. Now, the rest of the temple took 80 years to build, all the outbuildings and everything else that he needed to build, but the temple itself, in all of its glory, was built in a year and a half. But Herod was a ruthless man. Herod was an individual who didn't want anybody moving into his territory. He didn't want anybody who might even come to the point of taking over his throne. He was very fearful. And so we see that as the wise men come to Bethlehem or come to Jerusalem, and they speak to King Herod and they say to him, "Where is he who was born king of the Jews?" What do you think Herod's first response would be? "Well, I'm the king of the Jews. Who is this person? Who is this one?" And the recognition of a star. Tradition has it that that star represented a new king who had been born. And here these wise men from the east, we assume that there were 3 because of the gifts. There may have been more. But you can imagine these 3 kings coming from the east. And they didn't travel lightly. They had an entourage of individuals who were traveling with him, most likely armed. And Herod, the first thought that he has is, these 3 have come to spy me out. And these 3 are coming, or however many wise men there were, are coming to take over my kingdom. And now they're even making the proclamation that the king of the Jews has been born. And I'm not going to have that. I'm not going to have anything to do with that. But as his mind whirled, and as we continue to read through this story, he said, "Well, let me figure out exactly where this is going." Now, Herod had made peace with the Jews in some regards. He kept them under his thumb. He was extravagant in his giving, and how he would fund his extravagance was by taxing the Jews. So the Jews really didn't like Herod. But he made peace. One of his wives happened to be a Jewess, and so Herod had some understanding. And so when they came, the first people he calls are the priests and the chief priest, and he says, "Who is this?" And it's interesting the word that he uses, "Who is this Messiah?" this one who is going to come and liberate the Jews? Who is this one and where is he to be born? And they said to him, as we read, quoting from the Old Testament, "O you and you, O Bethlehem." And so he knew exactly where they were going to be born, where he was going to be born. And now let me figure out exactly what time and what year. And we know that this happened a few years later because the wise men go and they find Jesus in a house, not in the manger. So this is some time later. So that's why Herod has all the babies 2 years old and under killed. But it's interesting, as the proclamation is made by the wise men, "Where is he who is the king of the Jews?" He became furious, and all of Jerusalem was troubled with him. Man, we can't imagine how Herod is going to react. We can't even imagine what the next steps are going to be for Herod. Here is someone who has been born, who is being declared the king of the Jews. What in the world is... how is this going to work out? And it's not going to be good. There was absolutely no joy in the fact that Herod was sitting on the throne. There was absolutely no joy in the fact that Herod was ruling over Jerusalem. The Jews continued to go about their activities. They were working in that framework. It's kind of like a dog who has an electric fence. And the dog is it. Trying to figure out what its boundaries are, will go up and they'll bump against the fence and they'll get shocked and they'll back away, and all of a sudden the dog learns that these are the parameters, and I can live in here and I'm not going to get hurt, except for my brother's dog. Anybody have a Jack Russell Terrier? Don't get one. My brother said, looking out in the backyard, we just put up this electric fence because I know that the dog takes off. And so he said the dog walks up to the fence, gets shocked, backs up to the middle of the yard, looks at me standing on the deck, and just turns around and runs full speed at the fence. Gets shocked and keeps running. Eventually the dog came back. My brother wished it just kept running. The dog comes back. 4 or 5 times this happens, he turns it up all the way. Dog walks up, gets shocked, yelps a little bit, backs up, looks at my brother, and says, "I'm going for it." Full speed, hits the fence, rolls over a couple times, looks back at my brother. My brother said, "I swear the dog smiled at me," and took off. Sometimes we don't learn to live within the parameters, but the Jews were, sorry for that story, the Jews were living within the boundaries where they knew that they could function. And nothing, they didn't want anything to disturb that relative peace that they had during this period of time. But now there is this one being named King of the Jews, and we don't know what's going to happen next. We don't know how Herod is going to go off. We don't know what he is going to do, so there is no joy in living under the reign and rule of this earthly king. Oh yes, he's sitting on the throne, and yes, he has great riches, and yes, he built the temple there in Jerusalem. He did a lot of things, but the reality is he was still an earthly king, King Herod. The next king that we encounter is that of King Jesus. Let's look at Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. Luke writes this. He says, "And the angel said to them," we remember this account, the shepherds are out in the field tending their flocks. It's night, and you can imagine them settling in for the evening. And we've heard this before, and you could picture this in your mind's eye. And we were just out last Saturday night hunting, and, And I just remember how dark it was and just the peacefulness of those moments as we were out. And it was just pitch black, and you could look up and you'd see the stars. And there was just a calming effect in the fact that it was just so quiet. And here, the shepherds are getting their flocks down. And they were keeping over their flocks by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear, which would be our natural response. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." A new king is born, one who is going to bring great joy, one who is going to lead his people, one who is going to bring salvation, one that'll bring hope, one that'll bring peace, one that'll bring joy, and one that is a demonstration of God's love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, he would die on the cross for our sins. Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. Peter says this: "Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory." That is what Jesus brings to us, this inexpressible joy that is filled with glory. The words that Peter uses are just amazing. This inexpressible joy, and the word that he uses gives us this idea of inexpressible, unutterable, unspeakable, indescribable, too great for words. The joy that comes when Jesus enters into the world and enters into our lives. The joy is a state of rejoicing and happiness and full of glory. The word that he uses, the base word that he uses, has this idea of opinion or estimation, whether good or bad, concerning someone. The sacred writings, always good opinion, but resulting in praise and honor and glory. And so here is this inexpressible joy. We can't even speak the words of the great joy that this king brings. And it is full of glory and praise and honor. It was a lady who was a single lady all of her life. And she wore a locket. And it was one of those lockets that open and you usually have a picture of a loved one there. And she wore it all of her life. She was never without this locket. And people would ask her often, "Can we see the picture that's there?" And she wouldn't allow anybody to see the picture. She never opened that locket. And people speculated on who it was. She was a pretty prominent woman, and people would ask her all the time, and people would speculate as to what was there. And finally, the woman passed away. And the family came to her and said, they didn't say to her, the family came and said, "Let's open the locket and let's see whose picture is there." And as they opened the locket, a piece of paper fell out. And as they unfolded the paper, these words were written: "Though I have not seen him, I love him." She had a heart for God. And she understood with his inexpressible joy, her life was filled with great joy because she knew Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. Though we have not seen him, do we love him? Do we love him with all of our heart? Do we experience the joy of our salvation because we've put our faith and trust in him? We live in a wicked world. The king of this earth is reigning. We may equate him to Herod. But do we love King Jesus? And do we proclaim him as our Savior with great joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory? Why? Because salvation is a result of following this Savior. As we read Scripture, we understand that all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of that sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because God demonstrated his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, he sent his Son to die on the cross for our sins. And it's the recognition of the fact that we are sinners and we are lost and we are separated from God and we are following the king of this world. It's when we come to that point that we realize that we are in need of a Savior and we declare with our mouth, believe in our heart that Christ was raised from the dead and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, we place ourselves under his authority and under his rule, and now we have a new king reigning in our lives. And we all have a king residing on the throne of our heart. And which king do you serve? Which king do you serve? Is it the heavenly king, that of King Jesus? Is it the earthly king, that one who demonstrates himself in so many different ways around us? That we're in this Christmas season and we realize that the king of this earth doesn't bring satisfaction, does he? It's just wanting. So we're either serving the heavenly king or we're serving the earthly king. We either find satisfaction in Jesus Christ or we continue to go about wanting. We either recognize the feed trough that this heavenly king was born in, or we're looking for a throne. It's either heart, it's either hope, or it's heartache. It's either peace, or it's turmoil. It's either joy or it's terror. It's either inheritance or just things. It's either eternal or just temporal. Who is seated on the throne of your heart? And this morning, the only way that we are going to find joy and the only way that we are going to experience that joy is by knowing Jesus Christ is our personal Savior. Oh, that we might have the King of glory seated on the throne of our hearts. That we might not allow this earthly king to take residence in our hearts. There's a little book by a man named Roy Hessian. It's called The Calvary Road. And in that book, he describes this in such detail and so perfectly. Who is seated on the throne? Is it me? Is it the I? Is it this earth? Is it the flesh? Is it everything that is so contrary to the Word of God? Or is Christ seated on the throne of your heart this morning? So the question is, as we conclude, which king do you serve? Which king do you serve? Which king is on the throne of your heart? Is it the king of this world and self? Or is it the king of glory? If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior this morning, I would invite you to put your faith and trust in Christ. You see, all of us are the same at the foot of the cross. The reason why Jesus came to earth, the reason why he was sent to earth is to provide salvation for each and every one of us. And it is by faith that we are saved. It is by grace that we are saved through faith. It's not works that we perform. It is a gift of God so that we can't boast in our salvation. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior this morning, and what a great time of year to put your faith and trust in Him. And you may have questions, and I'm going to be down here. We're going to sing a closing song. Pastor Aaron and the worship team is going to come and lead us. And I would encourage you to come, and I'll be down here in front, and I'd love to pray with you. I'd love to talk to you more about your relationship with Jesus Christ. Today, put your faith and trust in Jesus. Today, as a believer, let's examine our hearts. Who's seated on the throne of our hearts? Are we allowing Christ to have free reign? Are we allowing Jesus to rule and reign in our lives? Or are we still holding on to the things of the world? What an opportunity for us to just come and relinquish it all to the King of Glory. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for all the elements of the service. And Father, we thank you for the joy that this time of year brings to all of us. Father, I pray that we might never forget that you loved us so much that you would send your Son to die on the cross for our sins. Father, that's the joy of our salvation, knowing that we are free from the wrath of God, that our sins are forgiven, and that we have the hope of eternal life because of your Son. And this morning, we sing his praises, the King of Glory. He shall reign forever. It's in his great name we pray. Amen.